Only Chris can do it, Slee. A fantastic introduction to our new little adventure here together, Travis and Sliwa. I am incredibly excited to do this. I'm hoping, and I don't want to say I'm hoping, but look, the Lakers play a lot. We're going to have a preemption along the line here and there, but I am incredibly excited to get to do this with you. I'm incredibly excited to get to talk for more than 2 minutes at a time. This is very exciting for me. This is going to be a very, very good day, Slee. I'm pumped to get this started.
Well, listen, Morales just did a six-minute introduction right there. We actually got to go to commercial break right now. That's what we got in the first segment. Fantastic stuff from Chris. Travis, I'm the same way, and you know this. In most of the shows that I do, a lot of it is very caller-driven. You have mastered Twitter with the audience, so I know you're going to figure out how to incorporate that in. But this is as much their show as it is ours, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, we'll see about the Twitter component of this. I have a bit of mixed emotions because while I have some very loyal listeners, which I am very grateful for, they can sometimes get a little squirrely, so we'll see how that goes.
Even better, considering it's
a little late, Sleeve, so I don't know if they're already into their bags. I don't know what they're doing exactly.
They're a couple
come
deep.
7:03. Well, yeah. A couple would be fine. It's I worry about it going a little. Speaking of.
Yes.
Tom Brady. We'll get to him coming up before too long because Tom Brady's deal yesterday, I have never for 1 second in my entire life really given Tom Brady much of a thought. Now, I don't dislike him. I'm not really a Tom Brady fan. I respect Tom Brady, but I just really never felt anything about him until I saw him come
next
off that
level.
Boat yesterday.
Yeah, he's next level now. I think for everybody out there who had their perception on Tom Brady, forget what he's accomplished on the field. Yesterday was more important than anything he's done on the field. TB takes it to another level. Another level yesterday.
Well, that's a level that that's full commitment. That's not, hey,
that's
let's go
Travis,
out and have a few.
That's Travis Santa Barbara Day's level right there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. if I'm being honest, probably a little bit. But we'll get to him coming up in a little bit. I know that this is one of the days that we're going to get to do the show because the Lakers aren't playing. I guess the question that I have, Slee, and okay. I want to hear, get your thoughts on this. I want the people to call in 877-710-ESPN. They can send tweets to me, at Travis Rogers. They can send tweets to you, at Alan Sliwa. They can send them to both of us. I'm not quite there where I'm worried about this yet, but I am getting to the point where I'm starting to consider thinking about getting worried about it because OKC is not very good. Detroit downright sucks, and yet the Lakers are having a little bit of trouble putting these teams away.
Yeah, if you want to look at a blueprint of a team that can get disinterested with the competition, this is, they say you play down to your competition. You cannot get a better blueprint than the Los Angeles Lakers of playing down to their competition, Trav. And I don't think I'm concerned about it. The only thing that I hate about this is why is LeBron playing 46, 43, and 41 minutes in the last three games? Last three games, that's how many minutes he's played. So I don't think there are Laker fans out there, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this one. I don't think anybody thinks anything less of do the Lakers have a chance of winning a championship and going back-to-back this year based on some of these games against below 500 teams. But what you don't want to see is why the risk? You know what I mean? The risk of playing in games that are technically meaningless in the big picture of things. It's three straight post games where I'm just sitting back saying, we're going to overtime again? And you got Michael Thomas. Just imagine what's going through MT's mind who's trying to get the hell out of Staples
Center.
Yeah,
I don't think that Michael's a huge overtime fan. He's never really struck me as a guy that's looking for those extra 5 minutes.
Trav, you should hear him. The moment in the broadcast, they're going to a review. Okay, John will say something to the effect of, all right, looks like they're going to take a look at this one. MT loses it. MT is like, we're reviewing this again. There's 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Who cares if it was a 24-second shot clock violation?
Look, I want to live in Michael's world. I'm all for the MT universe because there is no nuance. There are no shades of gray. There is no, well, maybe. It is just right or wrong, black or white. In or out, and that's I wish I had that sort of clarity in my life.
That's what
Absolutely.
Makes him empty. Okay, Trav, but are you, I mean, you look at these games, I mean, is it something that, what would be your concern by going, by having three overtime games in a row, not really taking care of business in the fourth, or not really taking care of business where in the fourth quarter you can sit a guy like LeBron James, what stand, what what scares you about that?
So, all right, let me explain it like this. The problem with this is the same problem that I have in my own life. And allow me to elaborate. It's every once in a while I will get very
motivated.
Skip
the commercial breaks right now. Travis going 15 minutes on this one.
Every once in a while I will get highly motivated to do better, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to eat a little bit better. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to sleep a little more. I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to cut out the alcohol. I'm going to do all of these things, right? You get pretty motivated, sure. And for a while, you're pretty good. You get up in the morning. You maybe have a little bit less coffee. You drink a little bit more water. You go for that walk in the afternoon. You go for a workout. You decide when it's at the end of the day, you know what? I'm not going to have a glass of wine. I'm just going to chill out. I'm going to do it. And so, you know, maybe a little bit of weight starts to come off. Start to feel pretty good, and you start to be
momentum
in really
starts
good
to
habits.
Kick in. Mm-hmm.
All of these things. You start to, and then one day your buddy's going to say, "Hey, we're going to go." And this is all pre-pandemic, of course. They say, "Hey, you know, we're going to go out tonight and we're going to watch the game and have a pizza and a few beers." And you think, "Hey, you know what? I've been pretty good this week. I've been fine. I
freaking
had a salad
deserve
yesterday.
It. I deserve
I,
it.
I went for a long walk. Therefore, that fourth pitcher of beer and that third pizza
is justified.
Fine.
It's justified.
So this is where I'm worried about, that the Lakers are getting into fourth pitcher of beer and third pizza territory. Mm. This is what I mean. You just find yourself in bad habits. That you have good habits. Good habits are easy to repeat if you do them every day. Bad habits screw up good habits in exactly 2 seconds, right? And look, this is why I am the world's biggest LeBron James fan, because he is the great equalizer in all of these things. He's the guy that can figure that will not let you have that fourth pitcher of beer, that will not let you have that third pizza. He's the guy saying, "No, no, no, we're going to go back and we're going to do this." But he can – I know it sounds crazy, Slee. The man is 36 years old in his 18th season. At some point, he's not going to be able to do everything. He is right now. He is. He absolutely – I mean, you just mentioned his minutes there a second ago. But at some point, there has to be – the rest of everybody else is able to do it on nights when LeBron can't, won't, hasn't, as rare as those times are, and that's where the habits come in.
Okay, so do I think that by – Let's put it this way. Lakers went on that 7-game road trip, right? They lost a game to the Pistons. They lost a game to the Philadelphia 76ers. Mm-hmm. If they had come back from that 7-game road trip, and let's say they went 4-3, and their three losses were against the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Sixers.
Yeah.
I'd have concerns. I would say, okay, they're losing against the good teams. The one reason why I'd kind of push back. First of all, it's not ideal by any predicament situation. I mean, what they're doing is, it's actually, you could say it's dangerous. You're flirting with fire here, only because LBJ is 36 years old, only because you have the shortest offseason in the history of the NBA. And on top of all that, LeBron's playing big time. It's not like LeBron is hanging out in some of these bad games and it's coming down to the wire, but they're fine and LeBron James sitting on the bench. One thing I will say is that they're still beating good teams. I do think when they feel like it, they will turn it on. They just don't feel like it right now. I mean, Trav, I'm at the arenas at Staples Center. First of all, there literally is no energy. You can't have anybody cheering. The only fans you hear are the ones that are Jared Dudley and Kostas Antetokounmpo, who are sitting on the sidelines. You don't hear anybody.
Right.
I think that part plays a factor into – we're down by 20 in the first half against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They just know that they could eventually come back at any point. There's absolutely no energy there. I'm making excuses. I'm not saying this is the right thing, but if you ask me right now, will you take the Lakers in a 7-game set against any team in the NBA, I would continue to say yes, I would. So what is that? You know, I don't know what that balance is.
Well, yeah. I mean, you beat no good teams. I guess that's what's most important. I just worry about all of the little things that add up to big things. Because, look, the Lakers are better than everybody, but they're not so much better than everybody that you can fall into some bad habits. And then, of course, you have the entire Anthony Davis situation that we'll get into coming up in just a little bit. The idea of, you know, look, Anthony Davis, you tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
Is it fair to compare anybody to LeBron James? And I'm not talking about points and assists and all the things. I'm just talking about physically. Because LeBron plays, like we just talked about, a bunch of minutes every single night, and Anthony Davis does not. Is that a compliment to LeBron, or is that a criticism of AD?
I think there's no comp to LeBron. I think the fact that LeBron is doing what he does, Anthony Davis's career, you can say that, okay, he's had some times where he's banged up, or AD's known for not being a banger down low. That's not his game. By the way, he doesn't need to be, because he actually has a skill set, and he could, you know, there are things that he can do that complements his game. LeBron is just a different animal. I don't. LBJ, even with this Lakers team, if you take him out and you put Anthony Davis in, are Lakers, are they a 500 team? And I'm complimenting one of the best players in the NBA in Anthony Davis. It's just the comp with LeBron. I can't compare from a skill set and a durability perspective, right? I mean, just him staying on the basketball floor and playing the minutes that we're talking about. And he's sitting here in these post-game interviews, Trav, where he's saying, well, I mean, yeah, it's what I do after the game and what I do behind the scenes is that's how I get myself ready for the game. So whether I play 30 minutes or I play 43, I don't think he feels like it's that big of a difference. And he's obviously trained himself to think, you know what, I'm not tired. Even if I am tired, I'm not going to convince myself that I am.
All right, so let's do this. Let's come back and let's talk a little bit about how important it is that Anthony Davis gets right, and how important is it, especially in light of something that's going on in New York, that the Lakers find their way all the way back to the top of the Western Conference. That's all coming up next on Get Ready. Here, Alan, listen carefully. You ready?
Yes, sir.
That's all coming up next on Travis and Sliwa.
We did it. We did it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Trav in the Slee. That makes me laugh. What do you think about that, Slee?
Yeah, that's Chris right there. That's definitely Chris right there. Okay, Trav, I got a quick question for you.
All right.
So here we are, and we're trying to find, you know, we're trying to find kind of music for the show, and I have certain music that I like. And then I come to Trav, and I'm like, Trav, what do you got? Give me some artists here. Give me some artists that you're working with. So what do we got so far? We got
and Weezer. Right?
I guess that's it, right? But you said, who do you like? You said U2.
I like U2. I like the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
Uh-huh. Van Halen.
Curtis, take some notes, man. I need you to take some notes.
That's the list. You're caught up, Curtis. It's not really my lane, Alan. You know, like every once in a while you'll find yourself in a conversation where people are like really passionate about something, and
sure,
you know, it's like, for instance, if we start talking about baseball cards from the 1970s, I'm your guy. We can talk about it all night long. But the second it kind of goes into music, you want to watch me glaze over real fast. It is the number one thing that I just I just don't care.
Here's what we'll do. We'll experiment. Yeah. Every time a song comes on, you just tell Curtis, yep, or you tell Curtis, get that off
Deal.
The playlist.
I like that.
Yeah,
that
we'll do that.
This is an important question. This is our first tweet on the show so far. It says, Trav, I need deets on your post-game meal plans after tonight's show, inclusive of dessert. Do you have any idea how much time I spent thinking about this, of when exactly my meals are going to take place now that we're on the air at 7 o'clock?
Okay, what's the game plan?
You've done the night show before.
Yeah.
So take me through it. What's the right time?
Sure, absolutely. Absolute wreck. I got home around 11:30 last night. Didn't care about what time it was. Ate everything in the refrigerator. Ate everything in the cupboard. I mean, honestly, like, there are times, you know, you were saying this earlier. You were saying that you're trying to do the right thing. That stuff lasts like 2 days for me. And at night, you know what you want to do when you're done with work? Trav, you want to come home,
drink.
You want to sit on the couch, you want to have something to eat, you want to turn on the TV. Like, that's, I guess, because I've been doing it for so long that you enjoy that part. You want to almost celebrate as if it's New Year's and just have whatever the hell it is to eat and whatever it is to drink. So as far as a game plan goes, I don't know if you want it from me, because it's probably not something that's the smartest thing to do.
All right. So
what are you going to do? Wait, are you...
I just really never stop. I'm kind of like a shark that never stops
consistent.
Swimming.
You're very
I
consistent.
I just kind of make sure that I'm always putting something into the tank. We're already getting some Dirk Diggler music. Did you not hear the open AC? That was nothing but Dirk Diggler and Jack Horner. Don't encourage Chris, or you're going to get the Colonel too, and that's a bad deal. All right, let's take a listen. Curtis, grab me the Anthony Davis cut, talking about how he wants to be careful about all this, because that's kind of where I want to jump in, talking about Anthony Davis's injury. Here's AD earlier today, talking about his tendinosis in his Achilles.
Well, in the beginning, it was just you want to approach it the right way as far as, you know, the ramp up. But I think, you know, every other game after that, you know, I've played in and wanted to play in. I think this is just a different circumstance with, you know, would it have been Achilles if it was a, you know, quad or, you know, finger or anything like that. You know, I wouldn't mind playing. But, you know, I just, you know, don't really want to play around with an Achilles. And today was the first day where we were able to practice and get some run in with some guys to really test it out. You know, but I just don't want to, you know, play a game where I still, you know, feel it and then get hurt. Now I'm out, you know, for the playoffs or whatever, or for, you know, multiple weeks where it's something where I can control and maintain right now, where, you know, you miss two games or three games early on in the season or midseason and be ready to go for the rest of the season.
All right, let me start right here, and, mm-hmm. and you tell me what you think. That just does not fill me with a ton of confidence. That does not make me – because here's what I was hoping. When we would hear from him for the first time, I was hoping I would walk away from that conversation of, oh, all right, he's just taking a day, or he's taking a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he's even just, yeah, you know, it's this little teeny thing that I just need to get clear up, and once it's cleared up, it'll be fine. That sounds to me something like, you know, we need to be really careful with this, because he just said it. You know, the last thing you want is for this thing to flare up and miss the playoffs. That does not make me feel better about what I was thinking about with Anthony Davis.
Okay, so Trav, this afternoon, Lakers do their Zoom calls, right? Mm-hmm. Hear from Coach Vogel, got a chance to hear from Marc Gasol, and then AD. So that was actually my question to Anthony Davis, and it was, how do you balance knowing that you want to play, but also understanding that the Lakers are not just some eighth seed that is just going to squeak into the playoffs? No, this is big picture here. I was surprised with the answer, too. I was not expecting – it sounded like somebody who's very cautious, trying to be very smart, which is the approach that, you know, Anthony Davis and the organization should be taking, but – you're right, Trav. That wasn't one of those. And he even said it. Listen, if it was a finger, if it was something else, yeah, I probably would have played. But I think that it threw me for a little loop, too. Now, I would tell you this. I was trying to explain this to Michael Thompson yesterday. I don't care about home court. Even if you start piling in some fans, I think the Lakers, you're right, this isn't a team where it's not the 16-1 Lakers that ripped through the NBA, or 16-1, I think it was, when they beat Philadelphia that one year, and that's the only loss that they had. Right. There are certain years where you just know it's not the Golden State Warriors who can just kick back with Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. No, there is some risk this year. Risk in the sense that the Eastern Conference got some pretty good teams. Clippers are trying to have something to say about it. But if they're healthy – and they're good to go come postseason. Trav, I'll take my chances against any team. Now the question just becomes to, well, how do you balance the regular season?
Yeah, that's part of it. And you brought it up, that maybe we'll get some people in the buildings, because that's what I mentioned when we were talking about what was going on in New York. New York is another one of those places that has just been ravaged by the pandemic. It's been really one of those places that's been hit incredibly hard. But their governor is going to open up arenas. That they're going to start opening up in about 2 weeks.
Did that surprise you?
I was stunned.
Me too.
By it. I was. I mean, look, we're not even allowed to have high school sports here in California. Mm-hmm. So the idea of having people in buildings just seems like a million years from now. But I think it is a good kind of
big step
marker mm-hmm. of where we are. I mean, now we're talking about 10% of capacity in arenas. So it's not like you're going to have a bunch of people in there. But if you know 10% of
in February,
Staples Center is what, about 2,000 people, give or take?
But Trav, let's say 10% in February. Mm-hmm. Playoffs aren't starting till May, right? June is when you're getting into that second round of the postseason. July would be the finals. And I just throw that out there, because if the starting point is 10% in the state of New York in February, who knows where we could be. Maybe at some point it's 25%, 50% or something along those lines in a few months.
I don't think it matters at all to the Lakers. As far as home court advantage goes, the fans are going to matter a little, but I keep coming back to this, and this must be what the Cavs felt like for a long time, what the Heat felt like for a long time. Just knowing that your guy is the answer to every question that's going to come up, because LeBron's not going to be freaked out by some hostile crowd. LeBron's not going to be worried about, oh, we're not playing at Staples Center, we got to go to, you know, Utah or whoever happens to be a higher seed at any given point. It's just simply not going to affect his game in any meaningful way. If Anthony Davis was the best player on this team, the lead dog, maybe it's different. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel like that with LeBron.
Well, I will say this. I think it's actually advantageous to the Lakers that some of these arenas do start getting fans back, okay? I'm going to use this as a small example. Wasn't it 2 weeks ago that the Cavs and the Lakers were playing in Cleveland and some front office executive started chirping at LeBron, excited mm-hmm. that he missed a 15-footer, and LeBron right. turns over to him, outscores the Cavs 21-19 on his own in the fourth quarter? Wasn't it courtside Karen who...
Or you mean old steroid ass?
Good old courtside Karen. But I think a team like the Lakers can use, they want, I mean, give them some type of some extra energy. I mean, I really genuinely feel like these guys are freaking bored. They're playing every – Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't play last night. Mm-hmm. He had 29, 10, and 7 the game prior. And the Lakers won in overtime against the Thunder without Shai Gilgeous. They look bored as hell. I don't know how else to explain it. So something like this where you see that maybe some fans are going to come back, I think there's now 12 teams that have some percentage of fans that are starting to come back into the arena. I'm not worried about home court for the Lakers. I'm really not. I'm really – are you worried – if the Lakers got to go win one against the Utah Jazz on the road, are you worried about that?
No. I'm not worried about it, but I'd rather have it here than not have it here. So because it's not just on the road, it's everything that comes along with it. It's being at home and being familiar and not having to sleep in a hotel and all of these things. And I know that they do it all the time, and it's different for guys like that than it is for guys like us. But all of those little things eventually can add up to one small big thing. And I'd rather have it here than not, and there's no reason why the Lakers shouldn't be the top seed. They're the best team.
But, Travis, to play off of that, you could be the best team and not necessarily be fighting for the number one seed. That's not uncommon. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I say that because would it be nice to have everything run through the Los Angeles Lakers? It would. But do you think the Lakers, if they were in a 7-game set against the Utah Jazz, I know the Clippers doesn't matter because they're both at Staples Center. Even some of these Eastern Conference teams, I'm not saying it's not going to be more of a challenge if they didn't have it. But what I'm saying is, I don't know how much of a priority it should be when you got LeBron logging 40-plus minutes a night and you got AD. We just heard his, you know, little soundbite there that the team's being a little bit more cautious.
All right, so we got some more tweets here, Alan. Here's one from Craig.
I don't like it already. I already don't like it.
And it says that 5:30 – oh, no, this one's from Capitano Matt. It says 5:30 pregame burrito, 7:30 a handful of M&Ms, and then a 9 p.m. sub hashtag meal prep. I can get with that. I mean, we got a burrito, we got a sub, we got a little dessert in the middle of it. I can do all of that.
What was his 5:30?
Pregame burrito.
Next time we do a 5:30 call, I want to see you just taking down a burrito, and by the time 7 o'clock rolls around, I can only imagine what you're going to be. You're going to be so slow and so...
This is where we're going to get to know each other a little bit.
Am I learning something about Jav right here?
Nah, all a burrito's going to do is make me feel really, really good. And I'm not. There's no.
What's in your burrito?
What's in your burrito? Oh, we'll save that for. We don't know each other well enough to get into those sort of details yet. We're gonna have to hold on to that. Craig has a tweet too. Laker Nation's concerned about AD and his injury history. Gonna need him at full strength for a Laker repeat. Let's start right there. 877-710 ESPN. How important is what's going on right now relative to what's going on at the end of the season? How much do the Lakers need to push now, or do you wait on all of that? Plus, the Dodgers schedule is out. Trevor Bauer is talking. We've got all that coming up on Travis and Sliwa on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Am I supposed to know this one? Is that something that I'm supposed to be aware of?
Okay, so, Trav, if you remember this, so
yeah.
Chris puts out a promo leading up to the show, and you said you liked one of the songs on the promo.
I
sent you, is it this one?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. This is Jay-Z. This is a public service announcement.
Yeah, I like that. Well, Jay-Z works for me. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't name a single one of his songs, but I like it.
I think if you heard a lot of his songs, you'd know right away that it was
That's crazy. Probably true, yeah. too. All right, here's one from our pal John in Huntington Beach of Fullerton. It says, Slee, amigo Travis has a specific music taste. All the food jingles like In and Out. That's what
That's
a hamburger
cold-blooded or, right there.
Or the Beverly Hills 90210 intro music. Now, I do know that. I'm ready for that one, too. Are you a 90210 guy, Slee?
No, I mean, I watched some of it back in the day, but so long ago. Man, I had two older sisters, so I watched some of it. What was that? What was the main guy's name?
Brandon
Dylan?
Walsh. What, oh, Dylan McKay.
He I remember
was kinda,
Dylan.
He was kind of the
Dylan.
B. Yeah, he's R.I.P. He's no longer with us.
Very. Oh yeah,
very,
that's
very
right.
Sad.
That's right. He did pass away.
Yeah, that's, yeah. What are you gonna do? All right, let's move on. Let's go back to the Lakers. Let's go back to the phone calls here and start right there. Let's go to Rancho Cucamonga is our first stop. And Daniel, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, man?
Sweet tea, Slee. I'm so happy for you guys. So excited for this show. Lakers will be fine. People need to heal. People need to rest. They had a long season last year, not only emotionally, physically. They went through a lot last year. They'll be fine. But, Sweet T, I just got to say, are you the new Marcellus in ESPN? Because you're going through co-hosts like crazy. You've gone through Kelvin. You went through LZ and Keyshawn. Now you're with Sliwa. So I'm just saying, man, like I'm keeping an eye on you, Travis. I'm keeping an eye on you. I'm listening to see. Make sure you stick with Sliwa for a little bit.
I might be the cooler. I had Kelvin for a while, and then Kelvin went to Marcellus, and then Kelvin left. And then I didn't have anything for a while. I was doing some pregame shows. I had Jeremy Hogue. You left him off the list. Dennis Thurman, you left him off the list.
You had Marcellus I've got, a little bit, too. You had Marcellus, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Of course, Marcellus. And then Key ditched us and went to New York. So, you know, it's some of them. None of this has really been my choice, my man.
Well, no. Don't listen to Travis. That's the power Travis has around here.
That's
you
why
say
I'm on
one,
at 8
you
o'clock
say
at night.
One wrong thing, Travis will have you off the show.
And he has top billing. I see he has top billing. For the
yeah, oh, Slee, that's a great point, by the way. That's a very, very good point there, Daniel, because this is the first time I have had top billing. I don't know how it happened, but apparently because Alan has far more juice than I do, but here we are.
Oh, that's awesome. You're the man, Travis.
Thanks,
happy
see?
For you guys, man. Happy for you guys.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. All right, let's try one more. Let's go to Steve in La Havre. Steve, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, I'm really glad you guys have a talk show together. I think you guys are awesome. I mean, I'd like you as individuals or groups where you guys did stuff. Then we did the Lakers stuff. That's why they put you together. I know you guys are going to talk LA sports. You're going to talk a little pop culture. I know you'll mix in some adult beverages and talk about carnita tacos.
Those are good.
And you're going to compliment those that need compliments, and you're going to throw shade on those that deserve it. I really would like to take this moment to thank Jared Goff. I know he's listening to the show as he's packing for his move to Detroit.
People are ruthless on Goff, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame everything on Goff. I know he got fissured when he was first here. Mm-hmm. And then, he had that great KC game. You know, McVay made him, what he was. And, he got us to the Super Bowl. Whatever happened in that Super Bowl, I think they should have ran Gurley more, but that's a story for a different day. I was at that KC game. It was amazing. But I'd also like to thank the new captain of the Rams, Mr. Matthew Stafford. I know he has a home in L.A., and I know he's listening to the show today. Hey, Matthew, how are you doing? I know through Stafford's career, he had bad defenses. He got Patricia. But you have Megatron holds the record for the most receiving yards in a season. Who threw him that ball? Matthew Stafford. So I think Stafford's going to get the Rams to the Super Bowl and win within 3 years. So I'm really looking forward to your guys' show. I know you guys won't be telling long, boring stories about buying Steve Sachs' house or how you met Jennifer Aniston
Steve,
it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee.
Little respect on Jennifer Aniston's 52nd birthday, which
today.
So
it's today.
Yeah, let's not throw shade at somebody that's that important. But we appreciate
you calling
the nice
in.
Words. Thanks, Steve. Let's stop right there for a second. He said something interesting about Sean McVay and Jared Goff. He said that Sean McVay made Jared Goff. I strongly disagree with that. Jared Goff was the dude out there making those throws.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Goff was the guy out there playing at a really high level for that entire season, the 2019 season, okay, or 2018 season. He was fantastic. Here's the rub with Jared Goff. This idea that Sean McVay made him, or he was the genius behind this, is only part of the story. Yes, he gave Jared Goff the tools to go succeed. He put together a game plan that worked really well for the Rams at first. But what do we know about the NFL, Slee? What is the absolute truth about the NFL? Everybody adjusts to what you do.
Mm-hmm, sure.
What works for you in one season is almost guaranteed to not work the second season. Those coaches are good too. I'm going to steal Key's line. There's a bunch of old men that don't sleep with glasses down at the end of their nose going over that film 9 billion times a day to figure out how to stop you. So you need to counterpunch. And that's where Jared Goff couldn't do. Because I you can't convince me that Sean McVay doesn't know how to counterpunch. He absolutely realized, okay, plan A worked this season. I got to come back with plan B because they've taken plan A away with me. Jared Goff wasn't able to counterpunch. He wasn't able to go to plan B. He was making the same mistakes at first that he was at second, that he was at third. It never really got to where it needed to get to with him. And I think that's why it changed so quickly. I think that's exactly why Sean McVay said what he said after that San Francisco game. We have to take better care of the football. Our quarterbacks need to do better. And then after the end of the season, he's our quarterback for right now because he knew the adjustment wasn't coming from Jared Goff. It was that I can't win with this guy and the decision he's making, we got to do something different.
Trav, are you surprised how much, because this is how I felt, all right? Now, you, you know, obviously covering the Rams, and you're as connected as can be when it comes to Rams football. Were you surprised how much, I'll use the word disrespect, Goff got once he got traded? I was surprised by it. Were you surprised by it or no?
No, I wasn't. Look, it's weird.
I feel like that finger was so incredibly pointed at one person, one individual, and there was this almost like celebration that Goff was gone. I mean, so much so, Trav, we were doing a promo for the show that had absolutely nothing to do with Jared Goff. And in that promo, you said, and I'm glad Jared Goff is gone. I'm like, oh my gosh, every corner I turn, everybody is so happy to see Jared Goff go. I guess I was just surprised that the amount of disrespect that went to Goff on his way out the door.
I'm going to turn it around on you a little bit. Tell me a game that they lost because of a reason other than the quarterback played like crap.
But am I right or wrong on this? Am I right or wrong on this? In the NBA, you have so much on one person's shoulder, and I'm not out here trying to defend Jared Goff like he's Tom Brady or Joe Montana.
Sure.
But aren't there a lot of factors that go into wins and losses in the NFL, much more than just one individual person?
Yes, but here's the huge but, Travis-sized but, that this is the but. You can't have the worst player on your team at that position.
Mm-hmm.
You can have him almost anywhere else. You can't have the weakest link on your team at the most important position on your team.
So when they had success, do you give him any of the credit?
Yeah, I do. That's what I opened the whole thing up with. I gave him credit for that because he was the one making the throws. But like you need to go to plan B and then to plan C and then to plan D. And then you can go back to A because they don't know exactly what it is you're going to do. He had one pitch. He had one plan. And the second they took it away, he never adjusted to it. Every time they lost, with the exception of the playoff game in Green Bay, which was just weird because it was cold and all these other, but they would lose because Jared Goff would make a critical error at some point.
Mm-hmm.
A critical error. And then it got to the point where Sean McVay had lost faith in him and was making play calls based on his inability to trust Jared Goff. It was one of these, hey, look, just run it. Just run it and punt it and let the defense go. Mm-hmm. And that is – that is counterintuitive to the way that he does everything else, where he's very aggressive, he's dynamic, he takes chances, all these things. But now, all of a sudden, because Jared Goff was so limited, they had to adjust the way they were doing things offensively. Sean McVay is an offensive-minded guy, and he was leading with his defense because he had no other choices. That's why they made the decision. That's why they paid what they paid to get him out of here. And I'll say it again. I've said it a bunch of times in the morning. They did not pay two first-round draft picks to go get Matthew Stafford. They basically traded Matthew Stafford for a third-round pick and Jared Goff. But you had to take those two. If you want Goff, if you're going to take Goff off our hands, here's two first-round draft picks. That was the cost of doing business there. And it was painfully obvious because, to your point, there are all sorts of times where, hey, look, this didn't work, that didn't work. Our pitching wasn't good. We made an error at shortstop, or our defense gave up a big play, or we didn't shoot free throws. We didn't shoot the three. At the end of the day, after the Rams, you said, why didn't the Rams win today? Oh, Jared Goff made a huge mistake. And it was obvious, and you just couldn't hide it anymore.
There was a good interview, and I know we'll get a chance to get into this, but Matthew Stafford was on WDIV and the Detroit Free Press. But this was kind of our first window into, okay, he's a Ram now, his thoughts on when he's leaving Detroit. And I'll tell you this, Travis, and I don't have to explain this to you. He's walking into a city and an organization where the expectations are going to be much different than they were in Detroit. So as much as you're referring to, let's boot out Jared Goff and get Matthew Stafford in here, this is going to be, and I'm sure many Rams fans are excited to see it, this is going to be where everybody's eyes are going to be on Matthew Stafford this season. And let's just say that blame that can go on one person's shoulder like it was on Goff, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Stafford this year.
Oh, for sure. No, they push their chips in. They are going for it across the board, and I love them for it. Very quickly here, this is the exact opposite of what the Clippers did for years and years and years. Hey, we got Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. Let's run it back. Okay, you're out in the second round again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's run it back. Okay, you're out in the second round again. Hey, let's run it back. Hey, you're out in the second round again. What the hell
are
you doing?
That's 80% of professional teams.
I get it.
Honestly, I'm not saying that's a good thing. What I'm saying is that you're right. Look at the Portland Trailblazers. I go down the list of teams that I know are out in the second round and have not chipped their or have not put all their chips in the middle.
Be bold. Mm-hmm. Be bold, take a chance, try to win. And if you try to win, two things are going to happen. You might win, and it might blow up in your face, and you have to start over again. And both of those things I can respect. I love that they absolutely went for it. All right, Dodgers have their schedule out. The Dodgers have a new pitcher in town, and something happened at the end of last season that's going to set Clayton Kershaw up for arguably one of the best years of his career. I'll tell you what that is. That's coming up next on, I love saying this, Travis and Sliwa on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I don't know if Chris is Dylan McKay. He's probably that guy that Dylan McKay probably tried to write the movie with, Slee, that didn't really work out all that much. The guy,
don't
Jonesy,
listen to him, Chris. Chris, don't listen name. To him, bro. Don't listen to him, Chris.
Chris is more of a Jonesy sort of guy. That's kind of what I'm feeling. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Jonesy, no. No. Dylan, okay. I know.
Just, did you have a favorite female cast member?
Let me look at them real quick.
Look,
just
if
to
you
make
need
sure.
to look, you've already ruined it. There has to be one that's – because the answer to the question is Kathleen Robinson as Claire Arnold. That's the answer. You can have Val Malone. You can have some other ones, but the answer is Claire Arnold.
Take Claire Arnold. Trying to see here. Oh, definitely the brunette was by far the cutest one.
Well, there's Brenda. There's
Brenda.
There's,
Brenda was by far the cutest one. Brenda was with who? Brenda was with.
She was with Dylan. With Stewart. I could spend way too much time on this. Let's move on.
Let's not move on. Brenda was by far the best looking one. This isn't even really an argument.
I have a feeling you're looking at the wrong person because
no, I'm not.
Nobody has ever answered the question as to your favorite female character is Brenda. That's never been said out loud, ever. I'm just saying.
She's the only brunette in the picture.
She looks like a Picasso painting.
Wait, you're not talking about the girl with the glasses, are you?
No, stop. Come on, Slee. Do better. you're killing me. Let's try another phone call here while you regroup with your 90210 information.
It's 100%. It's Brenda.
Let's go to Pico Rivera and JP. JP, you're on Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that I think that McVay is going to be in the hottest seat next year because he's the guy that went and got all that money for Goff in the first place, and then he shipped them out faster than, you know, as fast as he could. So now he has to win. I think he's under the most pressure to win because he's the one that got him that big contract, and then he gave up all those picks to get in Stafford. So I think he's going to be in a hot seat next year if they don't succeed. What do you think?
Real quick, before you hang up, Brenda Walsh or no? Was she the – do you know what I'm talking about, Brenda Walsh or no?
No.
He doesn't know. Okay, it's okay. It's okay.
That's all right, JP.
Travis, I'm digging in on this one now. Now
yeah. I respect whether I believe it or not. By your guns, but yeah.
Brenda's my girl.
Look, I think JP brings up a good point, and that is that for the first time since he's come here, and certainly for the first time since the end of that first season where Sean McVay took the team that Jeff Fisher had run into the ground and turned them into a playoff team and a division winner in his first year, takes them to the Super Bowl the next year, a little bit of a, air quotes, down year at 9-6. They return to the playoffs last year, 9-7, I should say. 10-6 last year, they go to the playoffs, win a road playoff game. Sean McVay has never been looked at as the problem with the Rams and their inability to do whatever they weren't able to do in the moment. It's always been Jared Goff. If Matt Stafford comes in and the Rams continue to have similar problems, I agree with JP. It'll be the first time people will look at Sean McVay and say, hey, we thought Jared Goff was the problem. This looks real familiar. Why don't you do something about it? And why don't we have any picks? Because you made that decision, because you had to do it because of the contract, all those things. I think he's put himself in a box for real. And I also think that's a good indicator of how strongly he feels about what the problem was.
Trav, there's pressure on – I mean, just think about this. Let's say that the Rams got to – let's say the Rams, which, first of all, they got to go through Tom Brady and the Bucs, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I mean, it's not like the road is going to get that much easier this upcoming season. But you tell me, success or failure, right? What if the Rams got to the – let's say they got to the NFC Championship game and lost.
Mm-hmm.
Failure or success?
Success.
Really?
Yeah. Are you talking about year one, or are you talking about the totality of Matt Stafford?
I'm talking about this season coming up.
No.
If they get to the NFC Championship game, let's say it was just like it was this past season. It's the Packers and the and they're the Packers and they lose. That's still a success.
I think so. In that first year, I think you need to make progress, and an NFC Championship game would be progress. Now, I want to yeah, but in there as well. If they get thrashed, if they get just absolutely torn apart,
outplayed,
then,
sure,
yeah, then that kind of changes the equation a little bit. But if you go into the NFC Championship game and you get beat by Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers,
20-17,
or Russell Wilson,
right.
20-17, mm-hmm. 28-24, that's a success. I know that Sean McVay wouldn't look at it like that. I know that.
What about Rams fans? How would fans think about that?
Well, we can ask him. 877-710-ESPN. We can ask him that. We also need to get into your mind-boggling answer of Brenda on 90210.
Looked up a couple of the other ones.
It's Kathleen Robertson. Just look up that, and we can go from there.
Okay, and I think
maybe Tiffany Amber Thiessen, or Tiffany Thiessen now, I think it is.
Okay, which one's Kelly Taylor? Is that her real name, or is that her character name?
No, that's
name?
Her character name. Her okay. real name is Jenny Garth. She's a beautiful woman.
Kelly's a good-looking woman.
Yes.
She's a good-looking woman. So definitely. Yeah, so we both agree it comes down to Brenda Walsh.
No.
And Kelly Taylor. I agree as well.
That is wrong. All right. Did you get a chance, Lee, to read the piece by Jorge Castillo in the LA Times the other day talking about Clayton Kershaw and his offseason and how he feels like he had a little bit of a burden taken off his shoulders?
You know, it's funny. By the way, great, great piece. If you haven't read it, go on the LA Times and take a second to read it. Kershaw is one of those athletes, Trav, where you don't have to be a Dodger fan. You don't have to be a fan of Clayton Kershaw. As in, you're not paying attention to him on a game-to-game basis. You read an article like that, you gotta be rooting for Clayton Kershaw. I did get a chance to read it, and a lot of things come out of it. And I will say this, in regards to what his future is and everything else. Who knows what happens after this season? But the fact, I mean, he had some quotes in there that definitely, definitely stand out. And I think for me, one of the things that you were just about to mention, the pressure coming off his shoulders after winning that World Series might make him, you know, arguably the best pitcher he's ever been. I know that's hard to top what he's already accomplished. But, Trav, there's something to feeling like you have everything on your shoulders and then you accomplish that. Now you could just go out there and you're playing with house money, and I feel like he's going to be playing with house money this year.
There's two things going on. One is exactly what you just said, which is just the freedom to not have to worry about guys like me, guys like you, and guys that are baseball fans, Dodger fans, saying, yeah, he is better than Koufax. He is better than Fernando. He did have a better career than Oral Hershiser and all of these things, but he never won the World Series. Fernando won the World Series. Hershiser won the World Series. Koufax, Drysdale, they all won the World Series. That's gone. So he doesn't have that burden hanging over him. It's done, and not only is it's done because he pitched his ass off. He wasn't just like I don't even want to say this because I like the guy and I think he's been great, but Kenley Jansen was along for the ride last year at the end of the line. Mm-hmm. He had nothing to do with the Dodgers winning the World Series.
By the way, which is okay.
Last year.
By the way, which is right.
It's okay. You know, he gets the ring and it's going to go on his baseball reference page. It's going to say World Series champion, and he's certainly a worthy World Series champion. But he didn't pitch well in the playoffs. He was not a part of it. Kershaw pitched his ass off. That's number one. The other part is, and we saw a little bit of it today with Trevor Bauer's introduction, he's the third best pitcher on the team now. And that is an think about who he's going to match up with. Think about the burden that goes along with being the guy that every time you go out there, you got to win. And if you don't win, it's, hey, what the hell happened? That's Trevor Bauer's gig now. That's Walker Buehler's gig now. Clayton Kershaw just has to be really good, and he will be great. Mm-hmm. That is, both of those things together are going to free him up like crazy.
He's obviously a Dodger legend, and now he gets to walk into this season where, you're right, there is, first of all, it's a team thing now. I mean, just look at some of the reasons why Trevor Bauer came to the Dodgers to begin with. He's now chasing a World Series, right? He wants an opportunity to win a championship. But they're so incredibly stacked. If Kershaw has a bad outing, it's not going to stand out the way it was standing out before. And
exactly,
I think
right.
I think there's, you know, I just use this as an example, Trav. I'll use NBA because that's my best comp. In the NBA, there are certain players where every single game, everything is on their back. And if they don't perform perfectly, that finger is pointed directly at them. And it doesn't matter if they got them to that position. It doesn't matter if they were outclassed because they were just better players on the opposing team. Kershaw, yes, in some big moments he folded. But damn, do you feel good for Clayton Kershaw that he's walking into what could be his final year with the Dodgers. And he's got that championship already. And I really feel like when you got nothing to lose, when you've already won, and you read some of those quotes there, the guy is in a fantastic position moving forward.
Yeah, think about LeBron James. LeBron, when he goes to Miami, they lose that first finals, and it started with a, hey, LeBron, and then he finally got one, and then from that point forward, he was off to the races. Not that he hasn't lost finals since then, but that burden was gone. It freed him up to go to a whole nother level, and he stayed on that level ever since. Very quickly, Slee, I want to read some of these tweets because
just reminds me of Clayton Kershaw, Brenda Walsh. You know what I mean? Like, there's this comp there of greats.
Yeah, well.
All right, what do you got?
Let's start with Dean. Don't sleep on Carol Potter, signed Slee. That would be the mother in the show, Slee. This is from not Danton Holden. Brenda? Oh, no. And then Francis in Glendale says, Slee with picking Brenda would be like the Rams sticking with Goff.
Wasn't I kind of defending Goff 10 minutes ago? So maybe this is perfect.
Hey, look, I kind of dig the lane you're carving out for yourself, the lane that no one else has driven down in entire life.
Listen, it's not my fault you guys don't see perfection. All right, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. I don't even have anything more on this.
All right, so we talked about Kershaw right there. Trevor Bauer is in town. Trevor Bauer was talking yesterday, and he was asked about his stuff. What stuff? Not that stuff. The other stuff that's coming up next. Travis and Slee on 710 ESPN.